Mr. President?
Yeah.
I'd like to make a motion to open public hearing and incorporate all evidence, all comments as evidence towards the hearing.
Okay. There's been a motion. Is there a second to open the public hearing? Seconded by Councilman Lattiser, Councilman McAllister. All is in favor?
Aye.
All is opposed? Public hearing stands open. And I would just point out where we are in the budget process. Right now, we're focusing on schools. And we have, I know that we have members of the school committee and the school administration here. There are going to be a number of people that want to speak. And there are a number of departments that we're going to speak on. And with that said, if people are going to say the same thing, I would ask that you try not to repeat something that somebody has said already. Just for time's sake, I realize some things, sometimes that happens. Also, I expect decorum, just like we had earlier, that people are not yelling, screaming, raising their voice, that type of thing. So with that said, we'll open the public hearing, and if the first speaker could introduce themselves for the record.
Absolutely.
So we're going to allow Mr. Cody to speak. If anybody else wants to speak, they can come up to the mic. Please do not interrupt. I think if you hold it down in the back, it will turn red. If you hold it on the bottom, it will turn red.
Thanks.
So, I also understand that, you know, we've never, on the city side, had funding for theoretical raises, but we have that on the city side. You know, I think it's really disingenuous for this city council to be scrutinizing the school department when they're not doing the same to themselves. So, this council needs to look in the mirror and ask the same questions to the city council and to the mayor as you do to the school department. So we know the teachers are overpaid. We know they can't handle the budget. We know that the schools are run down. How are you going to fix it? So I haven't heard any solutions from anyone on this side of the table, except for the fact that we know one thing, and one thing's for certain that no one can contest, is the fact that going into these contract ratification processes, the one aspect that hasn't been looked upon in the best interest is of the taxpayer. The taxpayer is never looked upon as what we're going to do. We're going to have more raises and more benefits. The taxpayer only provides an aspect of the funding formula. ...84% of the school budget, salaries and benefits. But I got another question I'm pondering. Why is it on the city side we have a $300 million deficit for healthcare, but on the school side only 50? Maybe they're doing something right on that side. On the city side, we're giving away free lifetime healthcare, not on the school side. So that's not fair. For a long time, I have been outspoken against the Warwick schools. I don't think they produce a good product. They do not have good facilities. And the nonsense that we saw last year while they were going through the contract negotiations, they all should hang their heads in shame, because it's the student that's the only one that's being neglected in all this. Which is why I had to pay $150,000 for high school. The thought of sending my children to these high schools was incomprehensible. And for all those teachers that called in sick and had the revolving sick outs, it was great that you postured yourself to get the $13.46 million in raises over the next 3 years, but what did you do to the kids? All we hear from the teachers, it's all about the kids. It's all about the kids. Not according to the pie chart, not according to where you look where the money's going, it's nothing about the kids. It's about special interests and about certain people who align themselves with special interests to garner the union vote to keep that position. And you'll sell the whole city out just to do that, and we've watched that happen. And the same is happening on the city side. So I expect when we start to bring up the fire department, the police department, and DPW, that Mr. Sinapi is going to start to look at the tiny, tiny pennies, right? And that we're going to scrutinize everything. Pennies, the tiny pennies, like the shopping on the clock, things of that nature as an example. I forget which one of the council members said that all the pennies count, right? All the pennies count. But when are we going to start looking at all the pennies? Because it's been ignored. These taxpayers are taxed out. I've been speaking with some senior citizens, some women that have been crying to me about they can no longer afford their property taxes. 64% of the teachers don't live in Warwick. Do you think they give a damn about that woman whose property taxes are going up as long as they get their 3% raises? They could care less. And now I hear Mayor Solomon wants to eliminate the deficit by bringing in new business, right? Do you think new business is coming into Warwick? Do you think new people are going to come into Warwick and build subdivisions when you have schools that are deplorable, that are broken down, and we haven't built a school since the 60s? They're not coming, folks. People come to a town because of the schools. So we're cutting everything out. After-school activities, mentoring programs. The teachers don't have parent-teacher conferences. Work to rule. You don't think that information goes out there in New England? So when people say, hey, let's move to Warwick, first thing, how are the schools? They're not good. And if anybody in this room can look at themselves and think you're doing a great job, you're sadly mistaken. Thank you.
Thank you. You have the next speaker. Just introduce yourself for the record. It's probably better you just hold it in your hand and real close to you. If it's lit up red, you have to hold the bottom. There's a at the very bottom, there's a button. You hold it in until it turns red.
So Bridget Allman, Ward 2. I'm not going to drop the mic like the last guest. But I have to say that I have one child that graduated from Warwick Schools. She's in college. I have another child who I have taken out of Warwick Schools. But it's not going to solve the problem. I mean, everybody has to work together. I work in a school district. I understand all the posturing that takes place. But what I don't, I mean, I've read everything that's in the papers. And at this point, we all understand the pension problem, but we can't do anything about it. So now we need to find out, okay, how are we moving forward? I mean, I listened to testimony for over an hour about the pension. And I understand that why people are upset and things were accused. But at this point, we need to go forward. But what I don't see in this budget that was presented is, what are the top five cuts and what are the top increases in this budget? I mean, none of that is presented here to me. And what I don't see is what's the percentage increase in local taxes? And again, are we using, is this the most recent governor's recommended state aid that's in this budget? I mean, there's questions that I have on this budget. And again, I mean, I pulled my youngest daughter out of these schools. So I don't know, I like to know what we're gonna do to move forward. I mean, we've heard all this negativity, but when are the schools gonna come together with the city and do what needs to be done? I mean, I'm a little confused because I read the mayor's capital budget and there's things for schools in here. And then I see a line item for the school capital budget. But what I will tell you is that with Warwick not funding capital projects for years and years and years, the districts where these kids are going, has anybody gone and taken a look at these schools? I mean, these are schools that are spending $600 to $1 million reoccurring capital every year and investing in their buildings. We cannot keep doing and putting spit and paste to fix these schools. I don't know whether we take a bond out and build a new school. But what we're doing right now isn't working. And again, there's a lot of effort that goes into producing all of these budgets, and I respect that. But again, I just think that we need a little more summary pages to just tell us where the high-level items are going.
Thank you. Mr. Testa, if you could identify yourself for the record.
Hi, Dave Testa, member of the school committee, Warwick resident for 29 years, parent of three students, two of whom have gone through the Warwick Public Schools. And I'll take some issue with some of the characterizations of schools. My oldest just graduated college, had a very good college experience, was very well prepared for college, graduated with a double major in summa cum laude. My middle daughter is also completed her freshman year, highly prepared for college. I don't want to say my kids are the exceptions. I'm not sure if they're the exceptions. But having said that, Warwick School achievement leaves a lot to be desired. So, Councilman Howe, I thank you for bringing up the unfunded mandates. That's an ongoing debate. I don't know what the solution is. For Councilman Sinapi, with respect to Cranston, I think the chair kind of mentioned it, but in a nutshell, our employees are paid more. We pay FICA, which alone is worth about $5.5 million. We run more buses. Their budget this year is $163 million. So that big gap, okay, shrinks considerably when you just factor in the wages and benefits. And their achievement is about as tough as ours. So you're not getting a better education in Cranston either. We have to improve our achievement. And I will give you an example to look at Cumberland. Their per pupil expenditure is about $14,000 or $15,000, and they're in the top five. So, but I believe that Warwick has started to turn that corner. As far as infrastructure, we've beaten that dead horse. I calculated my new property tax bill. And I will, like just about everyone else, pay more in taxes. I'm going to pay an extra $500 and change in taxes. And I've had kids in the school since 2002. I was here when the city council cut the funding 5% when the General Assembly gave them the permission to do so. And I've been here ever since, where it's never come back. I've seen firsthand what level funding does. I've seen firsthand the effects of that, what my kids used to have and what they didn't have. Now, my youngest is going to be a senior next year. And again, two of my three will all be prepared for college. All three of them will be prepared for college. And that's a testament to the teachers. It's a testament to my wife and I. But every single student that graduates these schools has to be prepared for college. I believe we can do that. With respect to buildings, and Mr. Cody referenced Massachusetts, and I mentioned it before, okay, Massachusetts does it completely different. Now, the state of Rhode Island has all of these new pieces of legislation about mimicking the Mass model. But what's missing here is what started the Massachusetts miracle was their Supreme Court ruling that their kids had a constitutional right to a public education. That was the first step. Then they put in about $2 billion in education. We don't have that right in Rhode Island. Twice the Supreme Court has ruled we do not have, our kids don't have that right. That's the game changer. Because if a kid can go into federal court and sue, that changes your funding from the state. And when I hear the speaker say we're among the highest in funding for education in the country, well, that's when you factor in the local burden. The state burden, we're about 45 or 46. So most of the funding for education should come from the state. Shouldn't be on the property taxpayer. Because we're all taxpayers in this room. We all get that increased burden. As far as our budget goes this year, it's a big ask. It's obviously a big ask. And I would have to clarify one more time, because this pension contribution issue, I found the irony just incredible to me when I learned about what the mediator's decision was the same day the Providence Journal pointed out that Warwick Municipal School Employees Pension as one of the best funded in the state. And I have to reemphasize that the narrative that somehow if we hadn't put more than what the ARC was, we would have had custodians. It's patently false. It's been explained. Before any custodian could have come back, we had tuitions that had to be covered. We had the $500,000 for school sports. There was about $3.5 million that had to be filled first before a conversation on custodians ever came. So that the narrative is a false narrative, and I won't ascribe motive to it here publicly, but it wasn't fair. And lastly, I would say, Mr. Frucci stands here year after year, and why did you not run summer school? That's not his decision. That's the school committee's decision. Direct those questions to the school committee. We make the decisions. It's not Mr. Ferrucci's or Dr. Thornton's decision. If we don't like the decision, we'll change it. But ultimately, it's the five elected members of the school committee who make those decisions. Thank you.
Thank you. Could you step to the podium and identify yourself for the record?
Good evening. Mary Townsend, lifelong Warwick resident and taxpayer, special education teacher assistant, Warwick Public Schools, 37 years, and the Wise Union president. I know we've kind of beaten this to death, but I feel that on behalf of all the Wise Union members, I need to address the council regarding the recent mediation arbitration decision to take the $400 million from our pension fund to balance last year's school budget. As a member of the Pension Committee and the Pension Investment Committee, I would like to reiterate statements taken from the report of the Advisory Council for Locally Administered Pension Plans, chaired by our General Treasurer, Seth Magaziner, and released on April 29, 2019, and the General Treasurer's accompanying remarks. The recent improvements in funded status have been especially noteworthy with, amongst others, was the Warwick Public School Employees Plan. Mr. Magaziner's statement after that was, all Rhode Islanders deserve security and predictability in retirement, especially those Rhode Islanders who have spent their lives serving their community, said Magaziner in a statement that accompanied the newly released report. I believe that all members of the Pension Committee, not only for Warwick Public Schools, but for the City of Warwick and pension committees everywhere, have a fiduciary responsibility to review all the available data before making recommended contributions or other contributions. While there are statements being made that our pension plan is overfunded, we would respond that it is not overfunded, it is well-funded. It is well-funded based on the committee's review of all the information available, retirees, mortality rate, known future retirements, and the data available made available to us by our advisor as to our investment status. And I do have a final thought for the council, only because somebody raised it. Taxpayers do pay for the contributions that are made through the city side and the school department side, but while the Warwick, City of Warwick employees receive health coverage for life, the WISE members receive their pensions. So in that comparison, I'd just like to say that we're all funded by the taxpayers. We're grateful for our pensions, and we know that by taking care of them, we will all be able to remain residents of this city. There are 80% of WISE members that are taxpayers in the City of Warwick, and we all have mortgages as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Next person could identify themselves for the record.
Hi, Tracy McDermott, WISE Union member. Warwick school employee for 15 years and Warwick resident for 30. You know, every year I think I come to these meetings, I think it's been about 20 years that I come to these budget hearings. Every year I cross my fingers it is going to be different. During the election time and in January when the new school committee members came on, new city council members came on, all I heard about was how we were going to work together. And again, I walk in here, it's an absolute attack from every member, other than Mr. Howe, nice, thorough questions, thank you. But the legalese, the courtroom drama in here, and the attack on Mr. Ferrucci and the school department in general happens every single year. This was a year I thought maybe we're going to work together. So it's sad that I'm standing here again and we are pointing the fingers again. The discussion of the amazing $4 million that came out of nowhere in the WISE pension literally 2 days after the release of the report by the state treasurer's office praising us as one of the top four well-funded, well-managed, well-administered private pension plans in the state. And for that, let's take it from them. They know how to balance a budget. They can balance a checkbook. Look at them being fiscally responsible. Let's take it from them. That's where we go. Is it, you know, the city workers' pension fund next? The police? The fire? Because it's quick to jump at the school department. Stunning to me that, you know, when we talk about the city of Warwick, I'm a taxpayer. We're all taxpayers. And yet, for the 30 years that I have lived here, I would say for the past 20 that I've been coming to these meetings, every single year, the school department is level funded or very close to level funded. Every year, our taxes are raised 5%. It all goes to the city. In 2006, the voters voted for a $25 million bond for capital improvements. The city council and the mayor froze it for 10 years. So every single year when a roof failed and a boiler went out, there it came out of the general budget. Every single year, us duct taping, gluing, and trying to patch the schools together. This past year, when an outside assessment team came through and recommended that $180 million worth of capital funding be put into the Warwick School Department, put up to bond, what did the school department ask for? $85 million. They were going to ask for $110, but they knew they wouldn't get it from this city council. So they asked for, I think it was $84 million. The city council approved $40 million to go on the referendum on the ballot in November. I mean, I'm not sure where you think we're paying for everything. This is 15 years, not 10 years of level funding, it's 15. And it's frozen bonds, and it's bonds not fully funded. And yes, 82% is salaries and benefits. We're educators. That, I mean, other than the buildings we're in, we are teachers, we are teacher assistants, we are custodians, we are workers. You need to man schools with employees that educate and that maintain buildings. You know, Karen Bacchus gave a great speech up here. That was the talk when everyone got elected, that we're going to work together. We, everyone in this school district and this city, should be fighting for the best schools there possibly can be. The finger pointing, the arguing, the blaming, that's not working together. We're supposed to be doing this for our children. And I also don't want to hear, you know, it's the worst schools, the buildings are filthy, they don't clean the bathrooms every night. I'm in the buildings. Those bathrooms are cleaned every single day. So please, let's stop perpetuating the myths and the rest of it. Do we have custodians every night? No, we do not. But the custodians that are there, the bathrooms are cleaned on a daily basis. Trash is taken out. Are they as clean as they should be? No. Should we have custodians every single day? Absolutely. But to sit there and act as though every student is sick and no one's cleaning bathrooms and on and on and on, I mean, I get we're trying to sell a point, but let's be truthful. I mean, and to start the meeting, I just want to clarify with Council President Marola, when you spoke about not knowing what was happening with the Carullo suit. Well, if you go back to February 5th of 2019, it was in the Providence Journal, and the headline was that the Carullo suit was being dropped by the school department so they could work together. Also in the Warwick Beacon, with many quotes by the mayor of how everyone was going to work together. So I'm not quite sure how you missed the headline that the suit was dropped, but it was dropped so you could work together. Not so you could spend 6 months not coming up with a resolution to the $4 million until all of a sudden the state treasurer's report came out. And then miraculously, oh, there's that fix. Happy birthday to the mayor. Well, enough. After 20 years, work together so we can have great schools in clean buildings and new buildings. Because the finger pointing has got to stop or it will never get better. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker. If you could identify yourself for the record.
My name's Nathan Cornell, and I'm a member of the Warwick School Committee. Tonight, we've heard a lot about the mistakes that the school department made, and it is true that the school department has made mistakes in the past. However, we have a new school committee now, and in the last few months, this school committee has taken great efforts to be more fiscally accountable. When we went through our budget this year, for the first time perhaps ever, that we went through every single line item to balance to the superintendent's budget, and we also restored the custodians and a mentorship program because those are necessary programs. Yeah, and we had to make some difficult cuts to balance that budget. It was not easy, and we were there till almost 12 o'clock at midnight, but we managed to do that. The school committee also has recently passed a resolution that all expenditures over $1,000 has to come through us in an effort to make sure that the school department is more fiscally accountable. So I come here to tell you that $7.7 million, it is necessary. We need that money to balance our budget because there's really nothing left to cut. So today I ask the city council to please give us this money so we could, for the sake of the students, because we need this for the continuation of the school department. Thank you.
Thank you. If you could identify yourself for the record.
Jacob Madour, Warwick resident, Warwick Vets graduate, went to Ricks, Lippitt, Gordon Vets. I have a few observations, and then I have a few questions for Mr. Ferrucci. And I want to preface this, my observations, by saying I understand this didn't happen in a day. It's not going to be fixed overnight. I get it. And context, believe me, I know, is very, very important. But I came here tonight, and also, I'm sure it seems a lot more complicated than the public realizes. I would give you that as well. And for the full year 2019-2020 budget, I heard more discussion on last year's budget. And I don't mean that as an attack, but a ball is a ball, a strike's a strike. I'm not saying you're wrong. I think you're actually right. Why would you overfund the pension more than you have to and cut the custodians? I agree, but we're here for next year's budget, not last year's budget. I have a few questions for Mr. Ferrucci, because it's been said by various members of the council that if we didn't fund over the minimum for the pension, we would have been able to do the custodians and the mentorship, and if you combine the past several years. So that would indicate that you would have a surplus. So Mr. Ferrucci, in your experience, does Warwick Public Schools ever have a surplus, significant surplus?
The last few years going into this year, we would typically go through a budget cycle, end the school year, and if we ended with any surplus, which we have, usually it's in the $1 million to $2 million range. Lots of times there's committed projects that weren't completed, et cetera. But that would get carried over into the following year. And our operating budgets were balanced, and we would typically carry that revenue that comes from prior year surplus as revenue, because that's the bookkeeping that takes place. And then we would surplus that again. So rather than building up a fund balance, it was surplus $2 million this year, balanced budget next year, add the $2 million in, end the year $2 million in cycle like that, up until last year, which last year we ended at $157,000. And then this year, of course, we hit the brick wall.
So it wouldn't be typical to have a $4 million surplus going in. Okay, that was my question. So therefore, even if they did do what they would make sense, previous administration, previous school committee, regarding the pension, you still wouldn't have a $4 million surplus, realistically. With that, you can, even if that was theoretically the case, I don't believe you could take that money and reinstate the programs. I might be wrong, seems are more complicated than they seem a lot of the time. But from sitting back there for the past 3 hours and 50 minutes almost about the scores, I don't know how you can, if the numbers add up, you can reestablish the custodians, reestablish the mentor, reestablish guidance, reestablish science, all these things that we've cut. and still have enough money to balance the budget. It seems to be you could do one or you could do the other theoretically, but I'm not sure if you can do both, and I just wanted to clarify that point. Thank you.
Thank you. Could next speaker identify themselves for the record?
My name is John Simino. I'm from Ward 6 in the city. I've been here all night since this started, and I got to tell you, serious problem with leadership in every area. Serious. It all starts at the top, everywhere. Top of the school department, top of the city council, the top of the city, the top of every department in the city. It all starts there, and it goes down. And we got a serious lack of leadership here. I mean, I hear last week a citizen come up here to give some information, and this is how the people out there feel that I'm talking to and that I know. And they're called A-S-S-H-O-L-E. I mean, let's save everybody the hassle. I am that. And it took me a long time to get that reputation. I worked hard for it. So I'll save everybody having to call me that so nobody will get caught on mic. But my point is, that's leadership. The people out here are looking to the city council. They elect the city council. They elect the mayor. They elect the school committee. All for leadership. And everything we see is lack of leadership. And it's very, very frustrating. I know you are frustrated. Multiply it times 10 to us because it's that bad. I haven't had a raise in 7 years, okay? Booming economy. I haven't had a raise in 7 years. But the city's departments, the unions in this city that I'm aware of, had 4 3% pay raises in that same time period. That's 12%. And I'm probably low. I'm probably missing something. How are people that are on fixed incomes that don't get raises, how are they supposed to continue to pay for this? No department, no employee of this city should get a raise again for years. I'm not talking about now, years. You get an audit that you say was not accurate because the numbers were wrong. Everybody in the finance department under Avedisian bailed out and left before the SHIT hit the fan, okay? And they left you lurching, trying to figure out how to run the city and how to come up with a budget, okay? But instead of coming out and saying that and saying sorry to two unions that were in front of you, we can't afford a raise. No. We hide the report like we don't even know it's there. And everybody gets a raise. And you get to say, but I voted against it. Yeah, but you knew the count beforehand. We're not stupid. You knew who was going to vote for it and who wasn't going to vote for it. So you could say, oh, I'm in a danger. I'm in a precarious situation. I'll vote no, because it's still going to pass. I mean, the games have got to stop. I heard tonight my city council, I won't mention names, my city council person criticized the school committee and the school department, which I think S-U-C-K, personally. But the only criticism that that person had was school meals that letters were sent out with the wrong dates and what was the other one? There was two issues. Oh, no summer school for anybody that's not a senior. $45,000, okay? This is what I'm talking, that council person, that's all they were concerned about, okay? Well, I got a concern for that same council person since 2011 owes $2,500 in taxes to this city. Pay your bill. Be a leader, and they could use that for lunches. Thank you for listening to me.
Okay. And all council members' comments are on the record regarding budgets and votes. I don't need to say more than that. I think my comments were posted online. But why don't we have the next speaker, if you could, and just identify yourself for the record.
Joanne Schofield, Warwick resident. I run Mentor Rhode Island, and the mentoring program has been mentioned several times tonight, and I really appreciate the mayor's support of it and all of the council people's support, as well as the school committee for putting that back in the budget. So I am the mentor lady, so I'm going to remind everybody that it really is all about relationships, and I really would love my city, the schools that I was so proud to send my kids that are now, you know, off and doing their professional thing. I'm so proud to send my kids to these schools and proud of the education they received, proud of the education I received at Tollgate, as did President Merola. I would like to see that return again, and I would like to remind everybody it is all about relationships. We want to work together. We want to make this a strong city, and I really feel like Warwick has what it takes to be successful for our kids, to be successful for our residents, to be successful for our senior citizens that might be struggling to pay increased taxes. We really need to work together. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Anato, if you could identify yourself for the record.
President,
it's on. Yeah, just hold it close to you.
Okay. President Merola, ladies and gentlemen, the council, ladies and gentlemen in the audience. I just retired from the school committee after 8 years. But in my first year, the first item I had, and it was passed, is that we would do away with the pensions for school committee members. Because at that time, they would get a pension if they served 6 years, along with the city council members who served 6 years. So pensions have been eliminated for the Warwick school committee members. Their salary, which was $4,000 60 years ago, has not gone up one penny. It is still $4,000. But my feeling was that no elected official, wherever they are in the country, should receive a pension for life for the part-time work that they had been elected for. The principal in interest that the school committee and the school department has been paying to repay the 2006 bond issue for $25 million. Before any of that money was released for the repair and rehabilitation of our schools, we were forced to sign a paper stating that the Warwick School Committee would pay the $1,200,000 in principal and interest. When the bond issue said specifically, it's the city's responsibility to pay the principal and interest. And as far as I know, the city of Warwick was the only one in the United States of America that made its school department pay the principal and interest, which amounted to $8 million, which should have gone into our school department. The city of Cranston. The city pays $20 million less than the city of Warwick pays for the support of their schools. And I know I repeated this a few weeks ago, but for the benefit of the audience that may not have known. 6 years ago, the state money to Cranston and Warwick was the same at $32 million. Today, the city of Cranston gets $64 million from the state, and we get 37. They get $30 million more than we do. And that's why the city does not have to pay that $20 extra million in Cranston that we do in Warwick. And if we got that money, there would be no argument. We wouldn't be here discussing pennies concerning what we're spending for our schools and for our beautiful students. That's the reason. Because for years, I've been arguing the fact that the city of Warwick is not receiving its fair share of the state monies, which now total $900 million given to the schools in the city, in the state of Rhode Island. When nearly $100 million of that now goes to the 25 charter schools in Rhode Island. And we're still held at the low, that low amount. When the city of Cranston gets now $64 million, the city of Pawtucket gets $80 million. Central Falls, who's 20,000 people, don't pay a penny towards their schools, gets $40 million. And Woonsocket, nearly $60 million. Our taxpayers here in Warwick are paying $3 million for the Central Falls schools. And the city of Providence gets $276 million from the state every year for their schools. We pay tens of millions of dollars in Warwick for our taxpayers for the Providence schools. Where is the fairness for us beautiful students? They deserve their fair share, just like anybody else with 140,000 students in the state. It's just, you know, I've been at the State House arguing for that money for the city of Warwick. I asked Scott, our mayor, years ago. I said, Scott, please get the city council members along with our representatives and senators from Warwick and get up to the State House with one voice asking for the fairness to our taxpayers and for our school department here. No meeting ever took place. I didn't see anybody up there at the State House when these decisions had to be made. So, if we have to do something to stop this, well, it's really destructive. What I hear tonight from the city council and the school department, the previous speaker said that we shouldn't have it at each other's throats. There has to be a compassion because our students are not getting what they should get after this graduation from our schools. That graduation certificate has to have meaning. It cannot be watered down, and they deserve more than we're giving them at this point. So my point is, there's monies here that should be in our pockets and for the benefit of the city of Warwick. And I hope someday to realize that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Nieto. The next speaker could come and identify themselves for the record.
We must be speaking by height tonight. I just want to stress how important education is.
If you could just identify yourself for the record.
Good point. Dan Pisatoro. I've lived in Warwick for 30 years. I was in education for 46 years, so I know how important education is. And I'm telling you, you should support the school department. I have a theory about society, and you can use this theory in the future if you want. There's five pins that hold us together, and education is one of the biggest things. The first thing is the family, which you know is breaking down somewhat. You see this in the inner cities and everywhere else. The second pin is religion. That's breaking down. Churches are breaking down. The third pin is education. You need to support education. That is one of the pins that is holding society together. If that breaks down, now you have the police, and you can see the police are starting to come into schools. Thankfully, not in Warwick, but you also see that in inner cities. And God forbid, if the police break down, the fifth one is the military, and you never want to go there. So I'm asking you to support the school department, because education, as you know, is one of the best things going in this country. Thank you.
Thank you. Could you just identify yourself? The clerk couldn't get your name.
Dan Pisatoro.
Yes, anybody else here to speak on schools? Yes, sir, if you could identify yourself for the record.
Mr. President, my name is Jay Bongiovanni. I represent the Warwick Financial Crisis Committee. I don't know where to start. I'm appalled at what I've seen tonight. The venom and the anger and the tenseness, it doesn't seem to be constructive unless it's cathartic and you had to do this in public. Mr. Mayor, where's your leadership? Aren't the council and the school department? The tensions tonight and the anger, how can we accomplish the task at hand? How can we get Warwick back on track? I'm at a loss for words. I'm very disappointed in each and every one of you. We've got great leadership in the finance committee. We've got great leadership with the presidency, but we need to come together. Tonight was a total separation. I just don't even know how to say this, Mr. Mayor. You got to get these people together. Show some leadership. I don't know if you can get us out of this crisis. Where have you been? Does this council reflect your feelings on with the school board? Is this how we get together? How we solve this crisis? We need leadership. I was hoping that you all would seize this opportunity to come forward, present plans, not to be angry, not to take, I'm embarrassed. I just don't understand where you're all gonna go with this. Where do we go from here? What you said to the gentleman up here, the questions and the answers, I just don't know where we're gonna go from here. And we need leadership, Mr. Mayor, and I'm looking at you to give it to us. Please, help us. Don't smile. It's not a smiling situation.
Sir,
if the mayor would like to address my question, sir, where is your leadership, Mr. Mayor? Where do you feel, what?
Sir,
I don't understand what I said wrong.
Okay, so what I'm going to ask you to do is please not scream and yell. That's the first thing I'm going to do. And what I also was going to ask you to do is we're trying to address our comments, and I realize that it includes us, okay?
Yes, sir.
But to also to the school issues, okay? And I know procedurally this is the first time I've seen you at a meeting. At a budget meeting.
Mr. Mayor.
So I know.
So he walks away.
So.
I'm really sorry. I don't mean to be disrespectful. I come in here with a great deal of respect. You know this. And the people that I've spoken to know this. But I'm very afraid for our city. And if I raise my voice, it's because of the fear that I fear.
Okay. So, and procedurally, you haven't been up to a budget hearing before. Procedurally, there's a Socratic method that goes back and forth where we ask questions, and then we make a determination on Friday. Thank you.
Stacia Heiler, Ward 9.
Yes.
I was debating whether or not I should step up to the mic one more time, waste my breath another year. For those of you that haven't been to budget hearings before, I know there's some that said they've been coming for 20 years. This is my fifth or sixth. And all of this back and forth and bickering and finger pointing that you're seeing, this has been going on for years. It's nothing new. Because this is ultimately what greed, excessive greed, does to a city. That's what it does. I've been saying it for years, that when the you-know-what hits the fan, they're going to eat each other. And that's exactly what's going on now. It's going to continue to go on. This is probably going to be my last budget hearing attendance. I'm sure many people will be applauding. But mark my words, though. It's not going to get better. The schools are never going to get fixed. Everyone's going to want their salary increases. Everyone's going to want their step increases. Everyone's going to want their overtime. Nothing's going to be done about the fire department banking their sick time. We don't even know what happened with that, if we'll ever get an answer. I think it's really sad that you're looking at the schools for overfunding a pension plan. Isn't that sad that we're going to start pointing? They overfunded a pension plan. Do we know why? I don't know if their mortality tables change. What's their rate of return? We know what the rate of return is for the city of Warwick, 6.9. We don't know. Maybe it was a good thing for them. But the bottom line is, you talk about the students. I hear people come up here. They've been coming here for 20 years, and they pay their taxes, and it's all about the students. No, you probably don't even, most of the employees don't even live in the city of Warwick, okay? And don't come up here and say it's about the students when you take sick outs and you make kids miss school so you can get your salary increase. I will never forget that. That was probably one of the most upsetting things for me as a taxpayer to see go on in this city. I will never forget it. And I hope people who are paying attention never forget that either. Don't ever say it's about the students. You will never be able to fix the schools because everyone wants their hand in that big, greedy pocket. They got to keep pocketing their money. I may not be staying in the city of Warwick, but my parents will be. They're seniors, they're on a fixed income, and I will continue to speak out and fight for people like my parents, okay, and other people that are here tonight. I saw an article in the Beacon, 22% property tax increase for some people. It is outrageous, and it's sad. Again, the majority of the people behind me are city employees. It's the same old crew. There's not enough people here, and it's sad. It really is. To see this going on. Other than that, you know what needs to be done. You are so ready. No one on this city council should be questioning the school department on how they blow their money, okay? When you went ahead and approved the police and municipal budget without doing all of your homework. And you know, I know how you voted. Okay, the majority voted to pass those budgets and to further put financial burden on the city of Warwick without doing your homework. You have no right to question the school department at all. You all know what needs to be done. I see a fire contract that was about ready to go through. Where are the major cuts? What about the healthcare cuts? You all know healthcare is destroying the city of Warwick. You cannot have millions of dollars, millions and millions and millions and millions more every year on the backs of the taxpayers while healthcare costs are going up, okay? And you're not doing anything about it. We don't know. You held off on what's going on there with the healthcare plans. We don't know, it was held twice. But this is insanity.
So,
okay, that's what it is.
If we could, we're going to get to healthcare. If we could,
great. I think that's. I hope to see major cuts. I hope to see that city retirees, we're funding taxpayers. They're funding that,
so,
right?
Yeah. So let's reserve our comments.
Into Medicare? No. I hope they're rolling into Medicare at 65.
So let's reserve our comments for healthcare when it comes up. It will come up.
Well, I'm just saying it now because I'm just sharing
We're trying to take it systematically. So healthcare comes up, we'll talk about healthcare. We're talking about schools right now.
Okay, but it's all part of the package.
I understand that, you'll have an opportunity to talk about healthcare.
I may not, so I'm getting it out now. Okay. I have better things to do. I want to go home and have dinner with my husband, cook my shrimp, pop my bottle of wine. Okay, I have much better things to do. Okay. I really do. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Patrick Maloney, Ward 1, Warwick. For those of you that are, let me just start by saying this. Ms. Travis, I'm glad that you're here tonight. I'm glad that you're doing okay, and I hope that your husband's doing okay, too. You're welcome. I'm here tonight to just give a little bit of historical awareness to some of our newer council members. In 2009, the state of Rhode Island gave every city and town in the state the ability to cut funding by 5%. For Warwick, that meant $6.5 million. That was in 2009. Here we are 10 years later. The $6.5 million was not returned to the taxpayers. Taxes were not reduced. They've been maxed out year after year. I know that simple math tells us that $65 million has been taken out of the school's budget over the last 10 years. That's a fact. So I sat on the school committee from 2008 to 2012, and during that time, I still think about the three programs that I had to vote to cut in order to make ends meet after that 2009 budget. Nobody really cared about what was being cut except for the kids that were in those classes and the parents who had kids that weren't able to do what they wanted to do. And then 2 years later, they said sports were going to be cut, and everybody came out of the woodwork to be here. Nobody cares about anything unless it's sports is involved. In 2010, 2011 time period, the schools voted to sue the city. And I was a part of that vote because I didn't think that we had enough for our basic education plan. And that was almost 10 years ago. So after $65 million had been pulled out of the schools, and I know that most of the budget goes to bills that have to be paid, bills that go up each year. I don't know how much of the budget is not going directly towards something. So I know that what's going to happen is the classes are going to get cut, programs are going to get cut, the kids' education is going to get cut. And one of the things that brings people to the city of Warwick is the schools. I talked to many realtors, and they've never once said to me, people really, really want to come to Warwick because the sewer system here is amazing. Okay? They don't say that. They say, how are the schools? And sadly, I have to say that I pulled my own two kids out of the school system in 2013 or 14 when they cut the ALAP program from the schools. That was the last straw for me. On my very own street, there's about 12 houses. Three of the 12 people just left. They didn't sell their house. They just left. So, and I know it's happening all over Warwick. Those houses sat there vacant for 3 years until somebody bought them, decrepit. And my value of my house is told to be much higher now, even though those houses sat there, decaying, until somebody came in and rehabbed them. I'll stick to the school budget. If we don't have people moving into the city, there'll be no need for the schools. We're going to have people leaving. I've already told my own kids, leave Rhode Island. My parents left Rhode Island 12 years ago, 13 years ago. They left to go to Massachusetts, and now they're down in Florida. And I'll tell you, everybody that I talk to says, I cannot wait to leave here. Most are waiting till their kids are out of school to do it. It's unfortunate. It's happening. It's happening right now. Things are not going to get better. So I will agree with Jay, who was up here earlier, that the mayor and the council need to work together with the school committee to make things happen. The school committee is probably going to sue the city again if they don't get the money that they need, and you're going to end up in court, and that's not going to help anybody either. Because what it's going to do is it's going to open up a doorway and a window to every single thing that's going on in this city. And do you know who's going to see it? Everyone's going to see it. Then try and get people to come here and live here. Then try and get people to raise families here. It's not going to happen.
So if we could focus in on the schools here.
So I don't know how many more schools can be closed. Zero more schools can be closed. I can tell you that every school closure that they had, they took the money and put it into the budget as best they could. And I will say that their mandates are coming down from the state. Mandates never stop coming down. And I know when I was on, they had fire code upgrades that had to be done. They did $12 million in upgrades. So when people say, where did the money go from the school closures? It went to mandates, fire code upgrades, and interest. And I would like to thank the council, I think the mayor, for taking over the interest or the proposal to take over those interest payments, as I know is being discussed. So the only way you can make this happen and to keep people here and get people to come here is if this gets straightened out and you work together. So I beg you to please do that. I don't want to have to leave, but I'm probably going to have to leave. I've already told my kids to leave, and that's a sad state. So thank you for your time.
If you could identify yourself for the record.